Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
34.8 million. Now, that's from earlier this morning or late last night. That's how much the Trump campaign has raised. I did a national show last night. Dan, they even tagged me in tonight when they were supposed to play a best of. I said, are you serious? How can you play a best of tonight nationally? And the mood nationally is what your mood is. People are outraged over this. The question is this. Here's how I would frame it. Which is going to happen? Is that outrage going to be turned into action? The fundraising is one metric. These are not just all big-time donors. I had one guy call me on a national show last night, Dan, and said he loved Trump, but the most he ever contributed to any candidate was $25. And I had to stop him. He was going to try to prove on the air the check he was writing as he was talking to me across America. $10,000. $10,000. I said, is your wife around
what?
There? Yes, $10,000 he was contributing.
On air? You contribute what?
Yeah, I wasn't doing a fundraiser. He just called in and said it.
Oh, man.
This guy.
Just for percentage?
Yeah. Sean McGuire, this tech guy in Silicon Valley, contributed $300,000, and he voted for Biden in 2020. Lee Zeldin, who was on the show this week, said he closed an $800,000 deal. The easiest one he's ever done. One of the easiest calls he ever made. It was for $800,000. Now, that's one metric. We haven't seen the polling yet, but here's how I would frame this. And Dan will, in a moment, will have this montage that the media, and it's got a quirky thing at the end here, convicted felon.
Donald Trump.
Hey, Jimmy Matthews, President Trump. I'm never going to say convicted felon.
I'm
not going to say former president either. Or former. I might say former felon on appeal. Or I don't know what phrase. I'm working up the phrase. You can help me with that when that happens.
Convicted felon.
All right, let's hear the whole montage, Dan, since you got it together so quickly. Here's the media, and listen to the end of this montage.
He is now a convicted felon.
Is that a picture that they're going to be proud to show their grandkids someday? That they're standing behind a convicted felon?
There we go. There's the money shot at the end. You're not going to be taking pictures. And Dan, I wish I could say who we're going to have as our next pints and politics and pints type of thing. Can't reveal it yet. But when we do, it's going to be an interesting picture to see if people will take next to this person. All right. Here's what this comes down to. Will this enrage people to action? Yesterday, we had a lot of calls, a lot of social media about the flags, right? on what I can predict this weekend, Dan, those flags, particularly with our listeners. I don't know what that Sherelle Butt woman is going to say to the Inquirer, or Sandra Butt, after this, on the beaches.
Miss Butt,
you have a guy. I'd love to get her on the show to tell us how she hates the flags. The fundraising is great. What other actions can you take? So this is a contest between whatever voters peel off because of their fear of being allied with a convicted felon, versus what actions will people take now? The fundraising is tremendous. If you contributed in this, we'd love to hear from you, 855-839-1210. Of course, on this national show, I had Scott Presler on the other night. Looking at him on Twitter, he can barely keep up with it now. People in the states that are not swing states wanting to get involved, and he's very creative in doing that. The other thing is just unbelievable, another gold mine here for us. Attorney Linda Kearns will be on with us at 1 o'clock. She texted Dan and me yesterday about every time that she's on, we see a spike in poll watchers. And not just poll watchers, but what do you call the people that watch the warehouse watchers? Wherever these Democrats are, that's what we need, warehouse watchers. Are you a poll watcher? No. I got a bigger badge. I'm a warehouse watcher.
Oh,
I want to
look at you.
I want to see that vote from start to finish, whenever that finishes, however long. For a lot of reasons. She'll be with us. Consider volunteering for that. In other words, will these actions trump their actions, which will be to try to ride this to get some of these pesky suburban voters to give it up? It's an overstatement that Marco Rubio made to say Trump was just elected yesterday. That's ridiculous. The election hangs in the balance, okay? Every second, every part of the day, it hangs in the balance to the bitter end. That's the way I always think about it. That's the worst thing to say. You won yesterday because he was convicted. But here is Corey Mills. Now, Dan, we were chiding Corey Mills. He's one of those guys that wore the same suit and tie that day.
That was very odd.
Yes, it was very odd. But I love this idea, and we should start to promote this idea. Then I'm going to play you Byron Donalds, who more and more is my choice as the VP. He's right there at number one at this point, at this part. By the way, yesterday, and this broke last night, Dan, there were two people who macheted a guy in the McDonald's right there in Times Square.
Wow.
We don't know if they're out yet, but we believe they are. So when I see Alvin Bragg say, this is the core of what we do, white-collar crime, he might be right because he doesn't do anything else. Machete attackers on the street, but not Trump.
Wow.
You just can't. Now, if this were a law and order DA, this still would be convoluted, this case. Trump is talking about that, too, at his Trump Tower today, his news conference, saying Bragg is watching this trial while crime is rampant. Yeah. Who did this? The people in Manhattan. They voted for it. They vote for all these people, just like the Krasner people. It's the same thing. So here's Corey Mills, though, with his big idea. Listen to Mills say what the party ought to do. Now, Trump gets sentenced on July 11th. All right? We can preempt old Judge Mershon by doing something on July 4th. Now, I would prefer he would do it at Mulligan's, but I don't know if that's possible to get Corey Mills over there, Dan.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. All right, here's his suggestion.
I think that we, as the Republican Party, first off, to poke them in the eye, we should go ahead and move our GOP conference and elect President Trump as our nominee on July 4th. We know they're trying to prevent him from coming to the actual GOP gathering, and so we should go ahead and start looking at that. But we have to start stepping up our efforts, Maria. I'm sick and tired of this whole thing about one more hearing. I'm gonna beat the horse here, but one more hearing, one more piece of evidence, one more this, one more. We have to start getting accountability. We can't just continue to sit on our laurels and say, oh, well, we're the actual, you know, party of the rule of law. We're the party of process. Look, we have more than enough to continue to move forward. We need to launch investigations. We need to follow the money, find the facts. That's what this is all about. And we have to ensure that something like this never happens again, because the precedents that are being set by the left is that no one is safe, that you are guilty until proven innocent, not the other way around, and that they can continue to do this kangaroo style court and this third party banana republic, you know, where you're just going to be guilty because we say you're guilty as a political operative.
Yeah, I saw this somewhere else, and I just want to reiterate what you just said. Are you saying that you are proposing moving the Republican National Convention to July 4th as opposed to July 15th? Is that what you just said?
That's exactly what I'm saying. If they're going to try and go ahead and do a sentencing on the 11th, which I know would hold him up, I say that we bring President Trump, we move it, and we elect him as our nominee on July 4th, Independence Day, and we start moving forward. I think that's a symbolic measure, and I think it tells them exactly where we're at as America.
Well, I think it could be done digitally or online. That's what they're doing with Biden, apparently, before their convention. How do you like that idea? July 4th of all days. Absolutely. Let's do it. We're trying to get them on to move that forward. The thing I resent the most out of this in some ways in the aftermath is if you challenge this stuff, if you make legitimate points pushing back, we're hearing last night a guy called me, Dan, and says, how does it feel? You're sitting there. Do you know that Judge Marchand has a daughter? Do you know that these jurors have kids too? And your lies on a national radio show are putting them at risk. Can you imagine? And if we push back legitimately, I'm not saying say wild things, then we're delegitimizing the whole process. We're told to shut up and respect this now by the very people who fight to the ends of the earth. And I admire that because I'm going to fight over the cliff to the ends of the earth. All right. Here is President Trump at the press conference today. And if Trump can stick to this part of the script, he did it in the South Bronx. It was a lot of fun. It was uplifting. But he also made this point, which is compelling to people. He needs to say this in every speech. I would sprinkle it throughout. It's like I have a dream. It's like Martin Luther King. When you have a line like that.
That's lofty.
You know what this reminds me of? It's when he said, make America great again. And then he was going around the country, Dan, and saying, I'm going to call it keep America great.
Oh.
And then he got it. He dropped it within about 30 seconds. When you got the line, don't give it up. Just keep saying it. Here's the line that is true with Trump that I think more than anything he says or does that resonates with the average person.
If they can do this to me, they can do this to anyone. And these are bad people. These are, in many cases, I believe, sick people. When you look at our country, what's happening where millions and millions of people are flowing in from all parts of the world, not just South America, from Africa, from Asia, from the Middle East. And they're coming in from jails and prisons, and they're coming in from mental institutions and insane asylums. They're coming in from all over the world into our country. And we have a president and a group of fascists that don't want to do anything about it, because they could right now, today, he could stop it. But he's not. They're destroying our country. Our country is in very bad shape.
Okay. And Dan, I just a little point of order there. Now, you got the line. Don't swivel off into illegal immigration and all this other stuff. Continue to drill down on that line. Talk about the cost to your family. Talk the cost of your income. All those things. If they can do it to him, they can do it to anybody. He's a billionaire. He has a lot of resources, a lot of friends. He's a president. He's running for president, getting the nomination. If they can do it to him, they can do it to any one of us. And work out points coming out of that. I find that to be the most compelling line and statements that Trump can make. All right, we're coming to your calls. Let's get a bit of entertainment. The celebration was on last night. Here is AOC telling us how she sees this thing.
Important to note that despite the initial statements trying to politicize this verdict, saying that it was somehow partisan or Democrats or what have you, Donald Trump was convicted by a jury of his peers. His peers that were people here in New York.
Ah, I wonder what a jury of her peers would be. We'd have to convene the Peanut Gallery, Hamas, and probably parts of Philadelphia to get a jury that's her peers.
Those trying to unionize coffee shops.
Yes. Ah, and that, you know what? That's your top 10 grievance. It comes up again and again and again.
It's one of them, yeah.
They're bringing up, well, didn't Trump say lock her up at the Hillary Clinton thing? He did. But you notice when Trump got into office, he downplayed that. He didn't move on Hillary Clinton. There were things there the Department of Justice could have done following up on what she did with classified material on her server, all those things. But he made the right move there. He was president. He was moving ahead with his agenda. There was nothing to be gained there in doing that. He could have gone after Hillary Clinton. I will make, Dan, no bones about it. I'm not one of those guys. It's going to be a phony on this. I have a bib I'm wearing on Monday. Ro is getting out right now because the saliva drip at the start of the Hunter Biden trial. I can't be on YouTube here without this bib on every day.
I thought you were eating lobster.
No, I'm not going to be eating lobster because I want to see the face of privilege. This guy who for how many years has done how many different things that are clearly illegal. And then he gloms on to the misery of addicts to say, you're coming at me because I'm an addict. And the father, oh, I'm afraid he'll go back into addiction. He won't be able to do his artwork. Yeah, I can't.
The BYOWS day.
Yeah.
Bring your own windscreen to the microphone. I ain't cleaning that thing afterwards.
Okay, that's right. Now, I have a special, you know, any bib designs, if you have a nice bib and you want to send it to me, I'm going to need different bibs a day, every day for the Hunter Biden trial. And I would have said that before this, but now.
That would be a great look on the YouTube stream.
I am bringing one.
Bringing one?
Yeah, or I'll take a towel. I'll make like an ascot like Joe of
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Go like and subscribe. You'll be reminded when we come on Monday with this bib.
How do you spell bib? Yep.
B-I-B?
B-I-B, yes. Why am I blanking on spelling?
Well, last night, you were just asking how to spell bib.
Last night was the National Spelling Bee, and I think it was won by a homeschooled kid who I think is Indian-American, as usual. You know, that's amazing.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Several of you, and I get it, you're not saying that Trump is Joan of Arc, But yesterday is when they burned Joan of Arc at the stake, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And that's the day that Trump was cast aside by a jury running out the door. Let's go to Scott of Mount Laurel here. I think this is a good point on all this. Hey, Scott, welcome in.
Hey, Dom, thanks. I tell you, I keep hearing convicted felon, and oh, my God, you're going to tell your kids and grandkids you voted for a convicted felon. Well, how do these people feel about Martin Luther King Jr., who was probably 30 times convicted, often on trumped-up charges? Should we have abandoned him? Should we take his holiday away because he was a convicted felon?
Well, also, according to multiple biographers, quite a womanizer and a plagiarist on his doctorate, Martin Luther King. Yet, his courage, his speaking ability, his moral clarity on the big things are unparalleled. He deserves his place in the pantheon of unbelievable Americans. So, yeah, not that we're saying Trump's Martin Luther King yeah. Jr., but Alvin Bragg and what went on here is very reminiscent of the trumped-up things we saw in the South.
And absolutely, and I think one of the words used that's so important is courage. I mean, Donald Trump could make this go away by just getting out of the race, and his courage is absolutely phenomenal. You know, we judge people on, well, we don't like this about him, we don't like that about him, but his courage is beyond belief. One other thing I wanted to say that he could really resonate, I think, with a lot of black voters is the idea that he talked about in his speech today. They overcharge people and they threaten them with such enormous sentences that, yeah, sometimes they'll plead guilty to something that they're not guilty of, like Trump's lawyer did, Weisenberg, because they don't want to be hammered for the rest of their lives. So that's something we need to address, too, in the criminal justice system. Don't let these people just throw out crazy charges so they can get a guilty conviction or guilty plea.
Yeah, and that does play in with what others, African-Americans, claim often, except in Philadelphia with Larry Krasner. It's the opposite. But the weaponization of this, Scott, you're exactly right. Scott, what do you think a robot cannot match with a human being?
They cannot coach basketball.
Hey. I thought you might go there. Or imagine AI trying to slip antelope in with John Crux sitting next to him.
Yeah.
God knows what animal he might come up with. Yeah. Hey, Scott.
Yeah, you never know what they might do.
Thank you, Scott. That's a great one. Not saying Trump is Joan of Arc or Martin Luther King Jr., but the idea that all this would go away is the scene from Braveheart. Just say it out. Remember the guy, Dan, have you seen Braveheart?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just say it now. Say it now. And this all goes away. Yeah. I was waiting for him to say blank you to the guy rather than just screaming out freedom. But, yeah. Rack him. Oh, God. Same day in New York. The machete guys, right? Hitting a guy's legs with machetes in the McDonald's. And Alvin Bragg, we'll get to that at some point. We're celebrating Trump tonight. $34.8 million is not bad. We're waiting to try to get an update. No overnight polling out there yet of what this means. I'm just billing it as a battle between how activated will people be, particularly independents, people like this guy that's making news, Sean McGuire, who contributed $300,000 yesterday, who voted for Biden, is kind of a culturally liberal guy in Silicon Valley, but says what he saw going on here just cannot be countenanced, and he's putting his money where his mouth is. You know, Elon Musk is praised an awful lot. I've had mixed things, I'll be honest, back and forth with Elon Musk. Elon Musk can drop a couple $1 billion here, couldn't he? You know, why not?
Why not?
Does money win elections? Well, it certainly doesn't hurt. You know, the smartest people that I've ever seen, like the Bill Clinton running in elections, right? He's a political animal. He would tell you, yeah, money counts. Money definitively counts here. But what also counts is people not just going to rallies or flying the flag, but voting early, banking the vote. Dan, you know what I was hoping for today? We'd have a moment where Trump would say in the middle of this, you know what? I thought about this long and hard. I'm under the gun here. The thing you can do, money, rallies and all that. I want you to vote early. I want you to do mail-in ballots. I see it. We can't win any other way. We got an integrity team, Whatley and Lara Trump and others. We're not going to let them use that against us. But I want to go into election day ahead. And if that happens, they're not going to be able to steal this. I was hoping for that moment. Most compelling moment, though, if they can do it to me, they can do it to anybody. Now, when Trump says something like that, though, don't jump to illegal immigration. Stick with that. Talk about what this is like to go through this. And again, who could withstand it even when you have all those resources? Dan, not on the same level, but I remember Joey Vento when they were going after him on the sign. It was 6 by 9 inches. You're in America. Please speak English when ordering. They were fining him or going to fine him $5,000 a day. He was willing to spend, I mean, you know, he was a molly millionaire, and he was able to do it. But you can't spend $5,000 a day, even if you're worth $5 million. You know, it catches up to you after a while that they keep him. Then he gave him a $10,000 fine, violations like wearing too much jewelry while cooking steaks. All right, coming up, great guest. We're going to talk with Jay Towne. And, you have Trump talking about a potential appeal. We'll hold that. We'll go to Jay Towne, attorney surrogate, coming up. And more than just dredging back through what happened, what's next here? What's the play here? Hey, Jay, welcome in. Thanks for joining us as always.
Love the lead-ins, Dom. I could come on every day and just hang up after you introduce me. It'd be great.
Yeah, put this in your audio resume, Jay. So, yesterday, where was Jay Towne when this was going down? And I'm still surprised it didn't end in at least a battle over a hung jury. I'm surprised they pivoted in the Post yesterday and at the 11th hour said, oh, we have the verdict now.
Yeah, I am too. And I was actually on an airplane, you know, manically refreshing my phone. But I also, when I heard they had a verdict and saw that they'd only deliberated for 10 or 11 hours, I actually tweeted at Jay Towne, Alabama, for your listeners. I actually tweeted, it's my experience that this amount of time for deliberation is a guilty verdict. It's not good for Trump. And sure enough, it came back guilty. Look, Dom, I took some time yesterday. I was furious, just like most folks, at the miscarriage of justice, the legal travesty that occurred over the last year, but certainly over the last 6 weeks in the Manhattan courthouse. And I actually had this weird sort of feeling that I was ashamed. I didn't even want to be a lawyer anymore. I was ashamed that I was in a profession. For my entire adult life, I was a part of the criminal justice system. I protected it. I feel like I made it better. I made people safer by deploying it. And this guy, Alvin Bragg, and this judge, Juan Merchan, what they did to the criminal justice system in the last 6 weeks doesn't resemble the system that I worked in. And so when I sort of was going through my catharsis of, you know, what I want to do, right? Do I want to take a sledgehammer to a window? Do I want to start responding to people on Twitter who are obnoxious, right? Go find George Conway's tweets and you can spend a day responding. But what I sort of landed on was this. Two things. First point is, I don't blame the jury. This jury was given facts and law that they never should have gotten. It's almost, Dom, as if you had a speeding charge, let's say that was a crime and not just a violation or a ticket, and I was able to walk in evidence of how you like to watch Grand Prix and you and your buddies drive your Corvette as fast as you can, as often as you can. And then there's this story about you and this porn star so that nobody likes you on the jury. When really all we're talking about is on that date where the ticket was given, were you going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this judge allowed to happen. Now, we're always going to have, you guys know this in Philly better than I do, right? We're always going to have awful district attorneys. we're going to have Soros-funded DAs for as long as George Soros is alive, Larry Krasner being among the more elite of that genre. And but the judge in our system is always supposed to be the check and balance on the aggressive prosecutor and what law and what evidence a jury is allowed to see. And this judge was complicit. This judge enabled, encouraged. He would there'd be an objection from the defense, and it would be overruled, and the same objection on the same sort of subject matter would come from the prosecutor, and it would be sustained. He was permissively biased throughout, and I can't even add up the number of appellate issues here that our system, our good system, will still be able to employ against this conviction. And convictions are not overturned every day, but it does happen. And in a case like this, it'd really be hard for me to see, Dom, how President Trump doesn't get this conviction overturned on appeal.
Jay, let me ask you, do you have in your mind, because I wrestle with this, a sense, not overtly, only you and I would know we're doing it, that what's needed here is for Democrats to get a taste of their own medicine inside the legal system, or would that have helped them to win since we no longer would have what we cherish, the rule of law?
See, I can't go there. I can't get there. I see it. I understand the sentiment, right? I mean, people are out there right. making lists of the people when Trump wins, you know, who are we going to prosecute, right? I can't get there because that's not, that's why I'm so offended right now. That's why I'm appalled. That's why I'm ashamed. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to go take part in that. And I don't think my colleagues who, you know, when Trump wins in November, if I'm not a part of that administration, I'm going to know a boatload of people who are, and I don't want them to go after our enemies because that's not what constitutional republics do. And so I get the sentiment. It's just not mine.
I hear you. And Trump, with all the stuff of revenge and all that, he didn't go after Hillary Clinton, even though there were still Correct. Things overlaying. And I supported that because he moved forward on it and he didn't say too much about it. You know, they did lock her up. That was a joke at rallies, but never moved on it. And I thought that was the right move. But there has to be, if you regain power, some kind of shot across the bow that is constitutional and legal or some mechanism to try to prevent them from doing this, because left unpunished, we're going to see a lot more of this.
Well, I think that there are ways that we can put in our laws. And perhaps even in our evidentiary rules where there are some sort of forced interlocutory appellate issues. When a judge allows as much inadmissible evidence as Juan Merchan, we shouldn't have to wait until after a guilty verdict to be able to have a court say, yeah, no. Because the guilty verdict's inevitable. That's the part that ruins the defendant's life. Forget about Donald Trump. Just think about your average Joe. And he might not be able to afford an appeal, even though there's an automatic right to one. He might not be able to afford the appellate bond, which means that he can't appeal anyway, and he has to start serving his sentence. His life's already ruined, even though he is not guilty by admissible evidence. So those are mechanisms mm-hmm. that we can correct this prosecutorial abuse of discretion.
Now, let's talk about the sentencing here. Judge mm-hmm. Merchan, you know, you've seen more of him than I have. I think he was a perfect foil in this. He strikes me as a passive aggressive. He did all that you said, but only with Costello did he ever seem to raise his voice and be engaged in that. What do you think he does with the sentencing here, and how should Trump play this?
Yeah, if you want to place blame on an individual, I mean, yeah, Alvin Bragg, he's eating an extra donut today, no doubt about it. But Juan Merchan is the person to blame. It was his job to ensure justice was done in his courtroom. And he enabled anything but justice. He encouraged anything but justice to be done in his courtroom. Don't blame the jury. You can't blame them. They're supposed to be ignorant of the law and the facts. But Mershon wasn't. This is a guy who's had no fewer than three other cases related to Trump in front of him. And you don't think that those cases start to build up a bias beyond his daughter, beyond his political leanings? You don't think that those cases build up a bias against Donald Trump? Of course they do. He's a human being. And then he gets tough with Bob Costello. You staring me down? You know, be the judge. You're wearing a robe. You're wearing a robe. Be a grown man. Somebody staring at you in court. Oh my. Let me sharpen my knives, right? Somebody call in the sheriff and remove this man. I feel threatened. I need a safe space. I'm going to go cry in my chambers. So, I have no idea what he'd do in a sentence. I mean, you think about New York and its laws, right? I mean, you got to really try hard to spend a night in jail in New York, especially with this DA. Now, I know it's 34 felony counts, but this is a man who's in his 70s running for president, has no criminal record, and these are all classy felonies, basically a couple of misdemeanors cobbled together. Whatever he sentences him to, in some ways it doesn't matter, because what folks might not know is in the state of New York, you can post a bond for your appeal, and that gets you to the first level of appeal before you have to even start serving your sentence. That's not going to occur before 2025. So Trump's not, if he gets 100 days in jail, he's not going to serve a day of it while these appeals go. And he has federal and state level appeals available to him at this very moment.
Absolutely. Well, Jay, thank you. To be continued, we love talking with you about just about anything. So we'll be ringing you up as this continues. Thank you, Jay. Have a nice weekend.
Can I make one more point,
sure.
Tom? I know you're up against the break. I apologize. The Supreme Court in their arguments about immunity, the government argued that, look, we rely on our prosecutors to bring fair and just cases. If anyone doesn't think the Supreme Court looked at what happened yesterday in Manhattan and said, you know what, we can't trust that anymore, there has to be some level of immunity, they are absolutely mistaken. And so this is going to result in a win in that immunity case that's before the Supreme Court right now. Sorry to take the extra time.
By the way, though, Jay, I mean, universal approval of you, except you're a Notre Dame grad. I have to tell you, the film Rudy is overrated.
Ooh.
Wow. You know, Don, I hope you enjoy your weekend, all right? And go Irish is all I can say to you.
Thank you, Jay. To be continued.
All right.
Take care.
Y'all behave.
I mean that, though, about the film, Dan. I just picked up on that over the years. All right, we're coming to your calls next. Brilliant stuff there from J-Town, our favorite coming out of this. At 1 o'clock, we're going to talk with Linda Kearns. I see this as a race between the leverage they get out of saying convicted felon, and actions that people are spurred to by this. And I gave you a whole list of them. Linda Kearns will give some more. We're seeing the fundraising there. But we saw this in 2020, and then people, for one reason or another, didn't show up and vote or couldn't show up and vote. Here's what Trey Gowdy said, Dan, and I'm trying to parse exactly what he means.
But I think that the distance between the sentencing and the convention is fascinating. And what this judge decides to do, Trey would know better than me, but if there's some way that he is somehow put into jail or put on probation, it would likely happen after the appeals process has run its course, which means after the election. Just the sentencing being that close to the time that he takes the nomination is just a fascinating juxtaposition.
Well, Brett, if you have a second, let's ask Trey to weigh in on that.
There's never a good time to have a sentencing hearing. That's been my experience in life. You don't ever want to appear in front of a judge. You can make the argument that that the cloud of an incustodial sentence, the threat of going to prison, is what will motivate Trump voters and supporters even more. So if I'm President Trump, I continue to say, look, I'm willing to go to jail to save this country. I highlighted, though, Brett made note of it. He said, I am willing to go to jail to save this country. I want to move the sentencing hearing because I want the threat of jail hanging over the convention, hanging over the election because I want people knowing that I have been victimized by this system in your stead.
That is really interesting.
Yeah, but I'm not sure who we get to move. Marshawn would have to agree to do that, I guess. All right, interesting. I think Trump's Trump card is saying that if they can do it to me, they can do it to anybody, and I'm willing to go to jail over this. Would Marshawn do this? Yeah, one of these times he's going to overcommit on this stuff, and it's going to backfire even more politically. Oh, God. Okay.
I don't even know if you want to tease this one. Just play it.
Yeah, just Joy Bay, joyless joy, even for the low-class women that they are. That's it. I'll be a sexist, Dan. Don't you think men, at least, maybe women, too, are looking at these and saying, not only are they stupid and ignorant, they're low class. Here's what Joy Behar said.
So, well, can I say one thing?
What was your reaction?
Well, my reaction was I was at Costco buying, you know, 10 boxes of Keurig coffee, and my watch started to buzz, and I got so excited I started leaking a little bit. But wait.
So you're the leaker?
I'm the leaker. But wait, this is what I want to say about, seriously. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to say it's rigged. This is rigged. That's rigged. Brian's rigged. We're rigged. Everything's rigged, mm-hmm. according to him. But, you know, there was a jury of 12.
Yes.
They all, to a person, said he was guilty.
Yes.
On all 34 counts. One of the jurors, juror number two, I was reading, he only watched or read Truth Social.
I saw that.
He did not watch Fox. He did not watch CNN. He did not watch us.
Oh, surprise.
Now, if a person who only gets his news from Donald Trump's, what do you call it?
Social media.
And he even thinks he's guilty.
The breathtaking, just breathtaking how wretched these women are. They are just wretched. It's hard, but, you know, it's not hard. Sonny Hostin's still worse. Even with that, Dan, I know you're presenting that as evidence to your case. She's the worst one. Whoopi was so excited today. She and AJ, welcome in. Thanks for joining us as always.
Love the lead-ins, Dom. I could come on every day and just hang up after you introduce me. It'd be great.
Yeah, put this in your audio resume, Jay. So, yesterday, where was J-Town when this was going down? And I'm still surprised it didn't end in at least a battle over a hung jury. I'm surprised they pivoted in the Post yesterday and at the 11th hour said, oh, we have the verdict now.
Yeah, I am too. And I was actually on an airplane, you know, manically refreshing my phone. But I also, when I heard they had a verdict and saw that they'd only deliberated for 10 or 11 hours, I actually tweeted at J-Town, Alabama, for your listeners. I actually tweeted, it's my experience that this amount of time for deliberation is a guilty verdict. It's not good for Trump. And sure enough, it came back guilty. Look, I took some time yesterday. I was furious, just like most folks, at the miscarriage of justice, the legal travesty that occurred over the last year, but certainly over the last 6 weeks in the Manhattan courthouse. And I actually had this weird sort of feeling that I was ashamed. I didn't even want to be a lawyer anymore. I was ashamed that I was in a profession. For my entire adult life, I was a part of the criminal justice system. I protected it. I feel like I made it better. I made people safer by deploying it. And this guy, Alvin Bragg, and this judge, Juan Marchand, what they did to the criminal justice system in the last 6 weeks doesn't resemble the system that I worked in. And so when I sort of was going through my catharsis of, you know, what I want to do, right? Do I want to take a sledgehammer to a window? Do I want to start responding to people on Twitter who are obnoxious, right? Go find George Conway's tweets and you can spend a day responding. But what I sort of landed on was this. Two things. First point is, I don't blame the jury. This jury was given facts and law that they never should have gotten. It's almost, Dom, as if you had a speeding charge, let's say that was a crime and not just a violation or a ticket, And I was able to walk in evidence of how you like to watch Grand Prix. And you and your buddies drive your Corvette as fast as you can, as often as you can. And then there's this story about you and this porn star, so that nobody likes you on the jury. When really all we're talking about is on that date where the ticket was given, were you going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this judge allowed to happen. Now, we're always going to have, you guys know this in Philly better than I do, right? We're always going to have awful district attorneys. We're going to have Soros-funded DAs for as long as George Soros is alive, Larry Krasner being among the more elite of that genre. And but the judge in our system is always supposed to be the check and balance on the aggressive prosecutor and what law and what evidence a jury is allowed to see. And this judge was complicit. This judge enabled, encouraged. He would there'd be an objection from the defense, and it would be overruled, and the same objection on the same sort of subject matter would come from the prosecutor, and it would be sustained. He was permissively biased throughout, and I can't even add up the number of appellate issues here that our system, our good system, will still be able to employ against this conviction. And convictions are not overturned every day, but it does happen. And in a case like this, it'd really be hard for me to see, Dom, how President Trump doesn't get this conviction overturned on appeal.
Jay, let me ask you, do you have in your mind, because I wrestle with this, a sense, not overtly, only you and I would know we're doing it, that what's needed here is for Democrats to get a taste of their own medicine inside the legal system, or would that have helped them to win since we no longer would have what we cherish, the rule of law?
See, I can't go there. I can't get there. I see it. I understand the sentiment, right? I mean, people are out there making lists of the people when Trump wins, you know, who are we going to prosecute, right? I can't get there because that's not, that's why I'm so offended right now. That's why I'm appalled. That's why I'm ashamed. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to go take part in that. And I don't think my colleagues who, you know, when Trump wins in November, if I'm not a part of that administration, I'm going to know a boatload of people who are, and I don't want them to go after our enemies because that's not what constitutional republics do. And so I get the sentiment. It's just not mine.
I hear you. And Trump, with all the stuff of revenge and all that, he didn't go after Hillary Clinton, even though there were still things overlaying. And I supported that because he moved forward on it and he didn't say too much about it. You know, they did lock her up. That was a joke at rallies, but never moved on it. And I thought that was the right move. But there has to be, if you regain power, some kind of shot across the bow that is constitutional and legal or some mechanism to try to prevent them from doing this, because left unpunished, we're going to see a lot more of this.
Well, I think that there are ways that we can put in our laws and perhaps even in our evidentiary rules where there are some sort of forced interlocutory appellate issues. When a judge allows as much inadmissible evidence as Juan Merchan, we shouldn't have to wait until after a guilty verdict to be able to have a court say, no, because the guilty verdict's inevitable. That's the part that ruins the defendant's life. Forget about Donald Trump. Just think about your average Joe. And he might not be able to afford an appeal, even though there's an automatic right to one. He might not be able to afford the appellate bond, which means that he can't appeal anyway, and he has to start serving his sentence. His life's already ruined, even though he is not guilty by admissible evidence. So those are things, those are ways, those are mechanisms that we can correct this prosecutorial abuse of discretion.
Now, let's talk about the sentencing here. Judge Merchan, you've seen more of him than I have. I think he was a perfect foil in this. He strikes me as a passive aggressive. He did all that you said, but only with Costello did he ever seem to raise his voice and be engaged in that. What do you think he does with the sentencing here, and how should Trump play this?
Yeah, if you want to place blame on an individual, I mean, yeah, Alvin Bragg, he's eating an extra donut today, no doubt about it. But Juan Merchan is the person to blame. It was his job to ensure justice was done in his courtroom, and he enabled anything but justice. He encouraged anything but justice to be done in his courtroom. Don't blame the jury. You can't blame them. They're supposed to be ignorant of the law and the facts, but Merchan wasn't. This is a guy who's had no fewer than three other cases related to Trump in front of him, and you don't think that those cases start to build up a bias beyond his daughter, beyond his political leanings? You don't think that those cases build up a bias against Donald Trump? Of course they do. He's a human being. And then he gets tough with Bob Costello. You staring me down? You know, be the judge. You're wearing a robe. You're wearing a robe. Be a grown man. Somebody's staring at you in court. Oh, my. Let me sharpen my knives, right? Somebody call in the sheriff and remove this man. I feel threatened. I need a safe space. I'm going to go cry in my chambers. So, I have no idea what he'd do in a sentence. I mean, you think about New York and its laws, right? I mean, you got to really try hard to spend a night in jail in New York, especially with this DA. Now, I know it's 34 felony counts, but this is a man who's in his 70s running for president, has no criminal record, and these are all Class C felonies, basically a couple of misdemeanors cobbled together. Whatever he sentences him to, in some ways it doesn't matter, because what folks might not know is in the state of New York, you can post a bond for your appeal, and that gets you to the first level of appeal before you have to even start serving your sentence. That's not going to occur before 2025. So Trump's not, if he gets 100 days in jail, he's not going to serve a day of it while these appeals go. And he has federal and state level appeals available to him at this very moment.
Absolutely. Well, Jay, thank you. To be continued, though, we love talking with you about just about anything. So we'll be ringing you up as this continues. Thank you, Jay. Have a nice weekend.
Can I make one more point,
sure.
Tom? I know you're up against the break. I apologize. The Supreme Court in their arguments about immunity, the government argued that, look, we rely on our prosecutors to bring fair and just cases. If anyone doesn't think the Supreme Court looked at what happened yesterday in Manhattan and said, you know what, we can't trust that anymore, there has to be some level of immunity, they are absolutely mistaken. And so this is going to result in a win in that immunity case that's before the Supreme Court right now. Sorry to take the extra time.
By the way, though, Jay, I mean, universal approval of you, except you're a Notre Dame grad. I have to tell you, the film Rudy is overrated.
Ooh.
Wow. You know, Don, I hope you enjoy your weekend, all right? And go Irish is all I can say to you.
Thank you, Jay. To be continued.
All right.
Take care.
Y'all behave.
I mean that, though, about the film, Dan. I just kind of picked up on that over the years. All right, we're coming to your calls next. Brilliant stuff there from J-Town, our favorite coming out of this. At 1 o'clock, we're going to talk with Linda Kearns. I see this as a race between the leverage they get out of saying convicted felon, and actions that people are spurred to by this. And I gave you a whole list of them. Linda Kearns will give some more. We're seeing the fundraising there. But we saw this in 2020, and then people, for one reason or another, didn't show up and vote or couldn't show up and vote. Here's what Trey Gowdy said, Dan, and I'm trying to parse exactly what he means.
But I think that the distance between the sentencing and the convention is fascinating. And what this judge decides to do, Trey would know better than me, but if there's some way that he is somehow put into jail or put on probation, it would likely happen after the appeals process has run its course, which means after the election. Just the sentencing being that close to the time that he takes the nomination is just a fascinating juxtaposition.
Well, Brett, if you have a second, let's ask Trey to weigh in on that.
There's never a good time to have a sentencing hearing. That's been my experience in life. You don't ever want to appear in front of a judge. You can make the argument that that the cloud of an in-custodial sentence, the threat of going to prison, is what will motivate Trump voters and supporters even more. So if I'm President Trump, I continue to say, look, I'm willing to go to jail to save this country. I highlighted, though, Brett made note of it. He said, I am willing to go to jail to save this country. I want to move the sentencing hearing because I want the threat of jail hanging over the convention, hanging over the election, because I want people knowing that I have been victimized by this system in your stead.
That is really interesting.
Yeah, but I'm not sure who we get to move. Marshawn would have to agree to do that, I guess. All right. Interesting. I think Trump's Trump card is saying that if they can do it to me, they can do it to anybody. And I'm willing to go to jail over this. Would Marshawn do this? Yeah, one of these times he's going to overcommit on this stuff and it's going to backfire even more politically. Oh, God. Okay.
I don't even know if you want to tease this one. Just play it.
Yeah. Just Joy Bay. Joyless Joy. Even for the low class women that they are, that's it. I'll be a sexist, Dan. Don't you think men, at least, maybe women too, are looking at these and saying, not only are they stupid and ignorant, they're low class. Here's what Joy Behar said.
So, can I say one thing?
What was your reaction?
Well, my reaction was I was at Costco buying, 10 boxes of Keurig coffee, my watch started to buzz, and I got so excited I started leaking a little bit. But wait.
You're the leaker?
I'm the leaker. Well, wait, this is what I want to say about, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to say it's rigged. This is rigged. That's rigged. Brian's rigged. We're rigged. Everything's rigged, mm-hmm. according to him. But, there was a jury of 12.
Yes.
They all, to a person, said he was guilty.
Yes.
On all 34 counts. One of the jurors, juror number two, I was reading, he only watched or read Truth Social.
I saw that.
He did not watch Fox. He did not watch CNN. He did not watch us.
Oh, surprise.
Now, if a person who only gets his news from Donald Trump's, what do you call it?
Social media.
And he even thinks he's guilty.
The breathtaking, just breathtaking how wretched these women are. They are just wretched. It's hard, and it's not hard. Sonny Hostin's still worse. Even with that, Dan, I know you're presenting that as evidence to your case. She's the worst one. Whoopi was so excited today, she announced that he was confected, not convicted.
Oh,
confected.
Really?
They're baking a Trump cake over there.
Donald John Trump.
Don't tell me.
Is a convicted felon.
Yeah, and go outside your studio. They're walking around with machetes. Oh, I still like Alvin Bragg. I don't care how many people get macheted in a Costco with curated coffee. Can you imagine waiting on her, Dan? Oh, my God. All right, that'd be the question. Which one would be the hardest to wait on? I still say Sonny Hostin. I'm a lawyer. I'll sue you. All right, Linda Kearns is next. I'm billing this as, are people going to take action? Or are they just going to be riled up and fly flags and go to rallies? Action meaning things that will help to win the election. Or will the tag be mightier than that action? It's going to tell us some things to do. We're going to talk to Keith Hartzell a little bit later on about Ocean City yesterday and what
allegations
happened.
Being made on Twitter, Dom.
Of what?
Bill Ball says maybe you have a crush on Joy Behar.
Who does?
You.
Oh, because I said Sonny Hostin is more wretched?
Or just, I don't know, because we play Joy so much, maybe?
When you got leaking in a Costco aisle, my God.
Yeah, that's kind of a...
They just,
I didn't ask for this.
They just have put together... And Dan, I went right to the source. I challenged Barbara Walters in person on this and almost got thrown out of a big event. Mike Wallace just started drinking whatever the stiff drink he had standing next to us. Who is this guy?
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.